Good morning, church. It is good to be gathered together. It's good to know that there are also others that are joining us online this morning. And it's good to come to God's Word as we continue our series, Actions Speak Louder, where we've been looking at the book of Acts. I want to start this morning by asking, how are you doing? We're nearly a quarter of the way through the year, and what a year it's been. Kendall commented the other day that it feels like COVID take two. And I think many of us are feeling that life hasn't felt normal for the last year. It's almost exactly a year since we went into the hard 5-week lockdown. I know Ryan and Katie keep asking us, when's it all going to be over? When can we get rid of these masks? When can inter-school sports start again? When can we have play dates like we used to have? And many individuals, many families, many businesses are struggling. And there are days that it feels like this is never going to end. When are we going to be able to throw wide open the church doors and have everyone come and gather together? When is the economy going to take a turn for the better? When will there be some good news on the TV or on the radio? And for me, at least the last few months have felt very much like a case of one step forward or two steps forward and then a step back. At work, we'll get a few good orders in and then find there's a shortage of steel or chipboard and we can't make it. Or as recently, we secured a nice order for export to Mauritius, and then they went into hard lockdown and couldn't receive or pay for it. And I know we are the fortunate ones because for us, it's one step or two steps forward and a step back. But for many others, it's one step forward and then two back, and they're further behind than when they started. But the truth is, life is seldom a case of linear progression. Few experience an easy climb to the top. For few, there is a direct line from A to B to C. For most, when things are going well over here, perhaps at work, then things are not so good at home and there's struggles there. We'll have blessing over here and adversity over there. We'll have the green light to proceed over here and we'll have a red light to stop on this side. We'll have joy and celebration over here and sorrow and mourning over there. There'll be peace over here and there'll be struggle over there. We're going to see something of this in the passage that we're going to look at this morning. We're going to have a look at Acts chapter 13, where the gospel comes to the city of Pisidian Antioch. There is great acceptance and interest in the gospel by many, but there is also jealousy and abuse and conflicts. We see the word of God spreading throughout the whole region, and yet at the same time we see persecution against Paul and Barnabas that ends up with them being expelled from the region. Paul and Barnabas are doing the work of God, but for them, like so often for all of us, it wasn't all plain sailing. There were victories and there were setbacks. There was joy and there was sorrow. There was agreement and there was conflict. An acceptance of the gospel by some and a rejection of the gospel by others. So turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. And we're just going to read the last 10 verses or so. Paul and Barnabas have been set apart for the work of the Lord. They are sent on their way, led by the Holy Spirit. It's Paul's first missionary journey, and they eventually make their way to Antioch, where they enter the synagogue and are invited to bring a word of exhortation. And Paul addresses those who have gathered, and starting with the Exodus, starting with that which was familiar to the people, he takes them through the years of wandering in the desert, through the inheritance of the land of Canaan, through the time of the judges and the prophets, and recounts the story of King Saul and the story of King David, a man after God's own heart. He tells them of the coming of Jesus, the Savior, the promised Messiah, who was crucified, buried, and whom God raised from the dead. he tells them of the one through whom there is forgiveness of sin, the one through whom there's justification before God. And so, having addressed those that had gathered for synagogue, having presented the gospel message, we come to verse 42. Acts chapter 13 and reading from verse 42. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. Definitely a step forward. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. Another step forward. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. Definitely a step back. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust off their feet as a warning to them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul faced much opposition throughout his ministry. Time and again we read of the jealousy of the Jewish leaders, of the abuse that Paul faced, of the persecution that he suffered. And I don't think any of us would have blamed Paul if at some point he had given up, if he had thrown in the towel, if he had called it quits. But despite being persecuted and arrested and beaten and thrown in prison, he kept at it. He kept on declaring the good news of Jesus Christ. He kept doing that which God had called him to. And the question is, what are we to do when life gives us lemons? And the answer isn't make lemonade. Seriously, what are we to do when there's this tension in our lives, a tension that keeps us awake at night, a tension that unsettles us and disturbs our peace, that perhaps even threatens to overwhelm us and pull us apart? What are we to do when, despite all that is good, there is this one thing or these many things that are wrong, that are painful, that are difficult? I believe that in these verses we have the key to what kept Paul going. We have the answer as to how we can stay the course when life is not working out as we had thought it should or as we dreamed it would. Encouragement comes in verse 43. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. What are we to do when it all seems too much? Continue in the grace of God. This is what Paul urges his hearers to do, and this is how Paul lived his life. Paul kept on keeping on. How? In the grace of God. This is what we need to do. In times of pandemic and hardship and heartbreak, in confusion and turmoil and adversity and upheaval, and even in the face of suffering, continue in the grace of God. Continuing in grace is as important as beginning in grace. Ephesians 2 verses 8 to 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast." We get that we are saved by grace, but far too many think of grace as only the introduction to the Christian life. But God wants His grace to remain as the foundation of our life with Him. The New Living Translation talks of relying on the grace of God. And another translation speaks of trusting God's good will. And still another of holding fast to the grace of God. Galatians 5 verse 4 says, "You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace." Believer, the good news is that it's not all dependent on you. By grace, you are accepted by God as you are. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, then stop trying to earn God's favor. Stop trying to be good enough. Stop working as if it all depends on you. The grace of God speaks of His loving kindness toward us. It speaks of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. His atonement that makes a guilty soul acceptable before God. The grace of God is able to purify us from sin. The grace of God is able to strengthen us for life's battles. The grace of God will bring us home to the Father when our race has been run. So continue in the grace of God. Listen to what Isaiah chapter 55 and verses 1 to 3 says in the New Living Translation. "Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink, even if you have no money. Come take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David." Are you thirsty this morning? Are you tired or weary or run down? Then come to the one who extends grace to the sinner, to the downcast, to the lonely, to the dejected, to the disappointed. Grace to the one who is discouraged or disheartened or dismayed. As I've said, the Apostle Paul knew more than his fair share of struggles. In 2 Corinthians 11, he lists them like this: "I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from river, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches." And perhaps you could add a few to Paul's list: sick kids, troubled kids, a grumpy boss, retrenchment, a failed business, a difficult spouse, marriage problems, financial problems. Paul adds another to his list. In the very next chapter, 2 Corinthians 12, he says, "I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me." We don't know precisely what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, but whatever it was difficult enough, painful enough, debilitating enough that Paul kept praying that God would remove it. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." In other words, Paul, continue in the grace of God. Paul goes on, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We need to trust God most in those areas where we are weakest, in those areas where we struggle most or suffer most. God's power is never more convincing than in those areas where human perspective produces no answer. We will know the greatest power in our lives when we are least self-reliant and most God-reliant. God's power is by far and away more capable than our own. When our strength is gone, when all human endeavor has failed, when we've got our backs to the wall, is that where you're at this morning? Then continue in the grace of God. When you are weak, He is strong. The Bible is full of stories of God's grace at work. And I want to have a look at a few of these. In Genesis, we read the story of Hagar, who was swept into the waiting game of Abram and Sarai. Hagar fell victim to their scheming to see God's promises come to fruition in their own timing. And Hagar was sent to lie with Abram so that he might have a son. But when she became pregnant, the hearts of both the wife and the maidservant were at war with one another. And eventually Hagar flees because of Sarai's jealousy and envy. But God reaches out to her. And in Genesis chapter 16 verse 13 she says, "You are the God who sees me." And perhaps that needs to be your starting point this morning as you continue in the grace of God. Know that God sees you. He sees your hardship. He knows your circumstances. What a grace it is to know that God sees us. The King of all the earth is not indifferent to your pain. He's not unaware of your circumstances. So that's the first thing you need to know this morning. God sees you. Secondly, know that the God of grace is the one who makes a way where there seems to be no way. When the Israelites left the captivity in Egypt, God led them through the Red Sea. He drove back the waters and made a path where there was not one. And then again, just before the Israelites enter into the promised land, God stopped the waters of the Jordan River, and so the people could cross over opposite Jericho. God's miracles of mercy and grace were bookends to the Hebrews' exodus from captivity. As you continue in the grace of God, may you know without a doubt that God is the God of the impossible. Perhaps this morning you feel like it's too late for you. You were waiting for God to open up a path before you, to do the impossible for you, but it seems as though your prayers weren't answered. And now you find yourself in the midst of a fiery trial. Well, then you're in good company. Three faithful followers of God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were sentenced to death by fire for their refusal to bow to a false god. Many would hope that the grace and mercy of God would show up before the flames whipped around them. But this story teaches us that it is our job to remain faithful. It is our task to continue in the grace of God and to leave the results, the outcome, the conclusion of the story to Him who has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Not until the three stood in the flames did the provision of God become visible. This morning, Know that when you continue in the grace of God, the final chapter has not yet been written. The living God will not shy away or hide his face when the proper time comes for him to display his power. We could continue all day looking at stories of God's favor shown to those who walk in his grace. There's the story of Ruth with all its ups and downs that finishes with a lasting impact on the kingdom of God. And there's the story of Elijah who was fed by the ravens. And the story of a woman who had lost her husband and is now faced with debts that she cannot pay. And Elisha simply tells her, close the door, pour out all the oil you have, and trust God. But in closing, let me share just one more Old Testament story that speaks of the grace of God. Gomer was a prostitute who was unfaithful to her husband, Hosea. Her plight and the merciful love of Hosea is to be a reflection of Israel and God's merciful love towards them. Of Gomer, the Bible says, she will chase after her lovers but not catch them. She will look for them but not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my husband as at first, for then I was better off than now. Not one of us wants a spouse like that. But how often have we not treated God in such a way? Our hearts wander from the one who is faithful to us. We sell our time, our efforts, our passions to those things that will never satisfy. And we wonder why we cannot fill those empty spaces within us. As we look up from the pit that we find ourselves in, we see that God still opens doors of hope for us to walk through. We see that still his mercy and his grace await us. We see that his love remains. As one theologian put it, grace is the love and mercy given to us by God because God desires us to have it, not because of anything we have done to earn it. This morning, in the midst of whatever trials you're facing, whatever hardships lie ahead, I exhort you to continue in the grace of God. How do you do so? How do you continue in the grace of God? Trust him. Trust God. Place your trust in Jesus Christ. If you've never done so before, then do so this morning before you leave here. If you have started in the grace of God and have since allowed the cares of this world to weigh heavy upon you, then return to the one who is gracious, the one who waits to show you favor and kindness. This morning, resolve to continue in the grace of God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you as broken individuals, too often weighed down by the cares of this world, too often caught up in the struggles of the moment, too often trying to go it alone, failing to recognize your grace toward us. Father, this morning we would commit ourselves to walking in your grace, to walking humbly before you, to simply trusting you. Father, we thank you for your word that contains stories of men and women who, when faced with overwhelming odds, chose to trust you. May we follow their example, and may we continue in your grace day by day. Father, we thank you for your grace that brought us salvation. We thank you for your grace that forgives us of our sin. We thank you for your grace that gives us a chance to start over, for your grace that offers freedom and a hope for the future. Amazing grace, scandalous grace. May we walk in your grace today and always. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.